I'm Lisa Mullins, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. The Syrian city of Hama has had a history of defiance, and the people there understand the cost. In 1982, President Hafez al-Assad ordered the military to quell an uprising by the conservative Muslim Brotherhood. Syrian troops sealed off Hama and dropped bombs from above. Between 10,000 and 25,000 people were killed. Today, as then, the residents of Hama are rising up against the government. And today, as then, the army is striking back. The BBC's Jim Muir is in Beirut in neighboring Lebanon. He's been following what's been going on in Hama. What have you been able to find out?
Well, directly, not too much, because actually getting through to Hama in the last short while has been very difficult because it seems that all the phone systems have been basically cut by the government, which is par for the course when it's sending the tanks in, as seems to have happened. Residents on the ground and activists are saying that the tanks rolled in, having spent several days essentially holding the perimeter of the city. They've now pushed in, taken over control of Asi Square, which is right in the middle, and which was the scene of some very, very big anti-regime protest demonstrations in recent weeks. So it seems they're now pretty much in control of the whole city. But since we can't get through to people to verify that, we don't know exactly how much they have taken control of. Or indeed, I have no casualty figures to give you at this stage. I haven't seen any anywhere yet. So I think that's a symptom of the fact that the town has been pretty much isolated and cut off.
Is there any indication, Jim, as to whether there's actually shelling going on in some neighborhoods, which is something that we've been hearing?
That is certainly what residents are saying, and there's YouTube footage purporting to come from Hama today, Wednesday, showing the explosions, or certainly the sounds of explosions. Mainly it seems from tank fire rather than actual artillery in terms of long-range field artillery, but tank fire as the armored vehicles rumble through the streets. Also a lot of machine gun fire, heavy machine gun fire from the tanks themselves, and there's a lot of talk of snipers as well on high buildings. Quite a few people have fallen to them in recent days as well.
There are efforts, as you know, to come up with some kind of resolution at the United Nations to condemn what's going on in Syria. These discussions have been ongoing, but I wonder what real impact they could have within Syria.
Well, we're talking basically about some kind of statement or possibly even a resolution, which is going to be very hard fought and hard to get. And obviously, practically on the ground, it's not going to make a huge difference in terms of what's actually happening. But the regime is sensitive to political, I wouldn't say to political pressures, but to the kind of political battle that's going on outside. If you watch Syrian TV, they're always quoting a Russian diplomat or a Chinese diplomat as saying, you know, there should be no external interference in Syria's internal affairs and so on. So they are very much aware that this is one aspect of the war or the battle that it's fighting for its survival is to keep its end up, as it were, in the international arena. So they're clutching at a lot of straws there, and they do pay quite a lot of attention to it. But as I say, in practical terms on the ground, there's been no sign yet that any of the outside pressures, be they economic, political, or moral, have had any actual impact in holding the regime back from its very ruthless repression of the defiance that it is meeting.
So what would be, at least how has history guided us, as to what the Syrian government would actually listen to? I mean, as you say, it's paying lip service to what the outside community is saying, but on the inside, the shelling continues.
That's right. I mean, if you're talking about who would actually be listened to, it's people like Turkey. Now, Prime Minister Erdogan in Turkey has been in touch with President Assad many, many times since this affair began. Turkey's relations with Syria had warmed up very considerably before this latest episode began. So Turkey, being a very influential neighbor, especially having a lot of influence in the north of the country, is sort of heeded to some extent. They have to be sensitive to that. Iran also is obviously a very close ally. Now, were the Iranians to say, hey, guys, it's time to start, you know, hauling back a bit, they would probably heed that. But there's no sign of the Iranians doing that. The signs are that the Iranians may be providing some kind of, especially cyber warfare help. I doubt if some people have reported that there's been help on the ground. I rather doubt that because the Syrians don't really need that. They're sending in the tanks. And the Iranians found other ways of stifling their own green revolution, as it was called, and that it didn't involve sending tanks or even any kind of guns. It was repressed by very severe measures, but not brutal, lethal measures involving guns.
The BBC's Jim Muir in Beirut. Thank you, Jim.
Most welcome.